Blog Talk Radio.
Today, Charles Laughton, great English actor. He was gay. He was in a lot of movies. In fact, he played a homophobic senator in Advise and Consent, even though he was gay in his real life, married to Elsa Lancaster, who knew that he was gay, and it worked out. Another English actress, Olivia de Havilland in Gone with the Wind, born today. Great movie director, William Wyler, who did the one of the best air combat films based on World War I. Farley Granger, who starred in the movie Rope, which was about a homosexual relationship. Jimmy Stewart was in the film, although James Stewart was not gay, but Farley Granger later came out as gay. Then the wife of the Philippine dictator, Imelda Marcos, the shoe lady. It's her birthday today. And of course, her and her family really milked the Philippines, and this is one of the cases, the hidden assets that they invested in California. I worked on that case. Leslie Caron, great actress. Gigi was born today. Another French actress is Genevieve Bujold. If you remember her in that film with Richard Widmark, where she played a doctor who discovered that they were doing organ harvesting with and suspending people in the cold storage, and she almost got caught and was going to end up that way. Richard Widmark played one of the doctors. And, of course, another woman who ended up dead, Princess Diana Spencer, born on this day. And, of course, her husband, Prince Charles, was in 1969 became the was invested as the Prince of Wales by his mother. Among the deaths today, a great book, Mr. Fuller, who was a futurist, died on this day. And then the events. Nobody knows much about this guy. He was actually there. He would have been the third U.S. Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice, John Rutledge. And it's very interesting that even with all this political agitation and sexual preference agenda agitation about sexual preference and marriage and rights of people who are in relationships, single-sex relationships, monetary rights and their tax exemption and tax liability rights is an issue. People still don't understand or know very little about the workings of the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, what's interesting is they get about 10,000 cases for applying for certiorari, which means that there's an issue. These cases are screened by clerks and staff attorneys, and they get the justices meet secretly or in a meeting, and everybody's barred, and they get a list and recommendations from the clerks and staff attorneys. And very few justices have the time or have taken the time to read the briefs. William O. Douglas was one who read every brief. So we've had scandals with the Ninth Circuit in Seattle and in San Francisco where clerks were tampering with cases. One tampering was with the Steve Neri U.S. Navy case. Another one was up in Seattle in the Ninth. That's another branch of the Ninth Federal Circuit court system. A famous picture, the Wreck of Medusa, was painted on this day, or it was disclosed, exhibited to the public, also in American Civil War, one of the battles in the Battle of Gettysburg, it was the Battle of Gettysburg. There were several assaults and defenses. And Prince Edward Island became part of Canada in 1867. There was the Confederation of Canada, and the reason that the Confederation of Canada occurred, attempts were made to unite Canada, and these were the provinces involved: New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, Ontario, and Quebec. And this was 2 years after the American Civil War, and Sir John Macdonald and Lorient, a Frenchman, met in Newfoundland, which was not a province of Canada at the time, and they met to try to unite these provinces in defense of Canada and in opposition to an attempt by the United States, a resurgent United States, to take over that part of Canada, which was at one time known as Lower Canada. And, of course, we twice in the American Revolution, we sent up Benedict Arnold to take Quebec, and he was defeated there. And then in the War of 1812, they sent up this guy, General Dearborn, who was captured in Lower Canada. And, of course, what do? In America, we named a city Dearborn, Michigan, and many streets after this incompetent general. In fact, the federal courthouse in Chicago was on Dearborn Street. And then, of course, those of you who remember Expo 67, which occurred in the summer of 1967, where Canada got its new flag. Lester Pearson was prime minister. Charles de Gaulle came to Quebec. Expo 67 was held in Montreal, Quebec. And the mayor of Montreal was a guy named Duplessis, and he was known as the Richard Daley of Canada. He'd been around for about 25 years, and he ran Montreal like Richard Daley ran Chicago and Cook County. And, of course, Charles de Gaulle, as president of France, came and spoke in French at Montreal City Hall and made the statement, Quebec libre. And the Canadians were furious with de Gaulle, and he had to cut short his state visit. Because he was stoking the separatist sentiments of the Quebecois. In 1973, that period, two blacks entered West Point. One was a guy named Smith, another guy's name was Flipper, and I think Flipper was court-martialed. And more military news, in 1898, Teddy Roosevelt charged up San Juan Hill. And in that splendid little war, the Spanish-American War. Those of you who've been to Chicago before the new Comiskey Park was built, in 1910, Comiskey Park was open in the Chicago White Sox. It was a terrible place. It was the last place that I went to a baseball game. 1917, Dwight David Eisenhower married Mamie Dow. And, of course, they had one child died, I believe, and then they had a son, John Eisenhower, who also went to West Point. And then he had grandsons who married the Nixon's daughters. And then we had in 1943, of those of you who were concerned about the income tax, the first withholding taxes were taken from paychecks starting in 1943 in the administration of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. and those of us who are concerned about Medicare and how it applies to us. In 1966, Medicare went into effect, much to the opposition of the American Medical Association, which now is very upset with Obamacare. And then 1969, of course, Prince Charles was invested as the Prince of Wales. This is interesting because of this bicycle agenda. In 1990, in Victoria, Australia, Victoria is the smallest state, as they call it, in Australia. A helmet, you know, if you didn't wear a helmet, you were fined $90. I don't know what the value of it was then. But, of course, that is also the rules of the road in California. And, of course, this whole bicycle agenda is getting out of control. of course, we talked about Imelda Marcos, and one of the cases that I worked on for the Philippine government was the identification of alleged assets that were stolen by the Marcos clan, Ferdinand and Imelda, and invested in real estate here in California. And I won't tell you what we found, but our law firm got ripped off. We did negotiate, with a law firm in Seattle, but we didn't get anywhere with that. And also in 1969, there was in the village in New York City, there was a gay bar run by the mafia and was called the Stonewall. And, of course, they were accused of serving minors alcohol. In New York and in Quebec, the drinking age is 18. According to the sources we researched, not only was it a mafia bar, but there was boy prostitution, but they were also serving liquor. And so the New York alcohol beverage control raided the place. It became a riot, and of course the gay propagandists decided to say this was the first demonstration of gays trying to assert their legal rights. There was a police were rather rough from what I understand. Now, the facts of this are of a gay, quote, decriminalization of homosexuality, gay homosexuality, occurred in 1963-64 in the state of Illinois, and I was working as a journalist, as a student journalist on a police beat at the time, and there was a raid in what was called Chicago's Gold Coast, which was Rush Street with a lot of gays and bars, gay bars and all that, and a relative of a prominent Democratic politician and office holder, this relative was picked up at a police raid at one of these parties. So to save this prominent politician embarrassment, his mother came down to the police station. He was put in a separate room. She was furious. She talked to her husband. He talked to people in Springfield, which was the capital of Illinois. And the governor at the time, I think, was Samuel Skinner. Wasn't Turner. And quietly, the state of Illinois legislature passed the first decriminalization of homosexual acts by consenting adults. And this was 5 years before the so-called Stonewall gay liberation. But gay liberation actually started in Illinois. Ironically, since the Supremes have legalized for the moment gay, lesbian, transgendered marriage, Illinois is still Illinois has not passed that like California has. This is interesting. Things have come full circle in a different way. We are going to be putting up more the worst of San Francisco, the affordable housing, how public tax money spent by HUD has gone to these organizations set up by these real estate racketeers and these sexual preference types and these foreigners. And in these housing developments, not only is it substandard housing, they, one outfit refused, they're out of business now, to comply with the disabled access to these housing projects, which is federally funded. Also, there was rape of children, money laundering. Some of these operators of these affordable housing projects funded by the American taxpayer through HUD, these operators, at least one of them, Ann Howell, got a condo funded by HUD. We have the documents. Also, they were operating in Marin County where a mother and her child, she was a farm worker, I believe, they were given housing in an unheated shack, and we have documented pictures of that. Also, a Jewish youth who, Jewish heritage, I don't know if he practiced, his grandparents died in the camps. He had AIDS, and he was living in one of their projects of innovative housing in San Rafael, California. This is documented. His heater went out, and so he asked Innovative Housing to repair or replace. They refused and told him, the lesbian who operated Innovative Housing, told him, why don't you use your oven? Very insensitive, to say the least. But these things went on and was ignored by the morons in the media. Very interesting things are happening here in San Francisco and in Northern California with media. More and more of these freebie papers, they can't get advertising. And in one case, with the San Francisco Chronicle, for the second time, they are being sued by the Bay Guardian, which was now part of the latest incarnation of the San Francisco Examiner and the San Francisco Weekly. Brugman, who used to run the Guardian, he sold it. They were losing money. He sued the San Francisco Chronicle years ago, claiming that they were engaging in predatory business practices. He got $750,000, and that enabled his paper to be a weekly freebie. Well, people got tired of it, and they were losing money. And in fact, they've practically gone out of business. Now, since they're part of the San Francisco Examiner, run by this Canadian, Todd Voigt, they are again suing the San Francisco Chronicle. So the Chronicle's become an ATM. So we're going to end. We'll be back Wednesday and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. We have had to take a change. We were hacked, and a lot of our work was destroyed, so they thought. So we are now amicusveritas.net on the web and amicusveritas.inform. But we still have Amicus Veritas YouTube, AMICUSVERITS. And so we'll be trying to restore some of what was destroyed, which was 10 years of work. But we've been damaged, but we're not out of business. So we will end with our usual politics and poker, and we will have our interview with Pat Butler pretty soon. And also, for some reason, a Newsweek article has come back on the web about telling Obama to hit the road, and it really excoriated Mr. Roe. So you might want to check that out, because a lot of people are realizing they may have been conned.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Toss your five. Pony. Up to you.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Casey.
Big Ace.
Ace Bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the time?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing. Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
I suppose we should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y? I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bat out.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
little trade's good as gold.
I'll say,
raise your mind.
I'll call. I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Playing for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Rubbing neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
Wednesday at 4 p.m. It's Peter Paul Brizola. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS YouTube, and also go to our AmicusVeritas.net. Good night.